that Haggadah that many of you have. The Haggadah, just a little bit about what I have here to understand, to get oriented, to understand exactly what I tried to do and what you can maybe use this as to be a benefit for yourself over the Leil HaSeder and also over the whole Chag. So the way it's set up is there are two parts. The first part has the Haggadah on the top and different likutim of insights and ideas and diyukim on the bottom. The second part is a whole number of mamarim on more barichas, barchava, on inyanim that are somehow connected to the yesodos of the Leil HaSeder, specifically inyanim yitzias mitzrayim and so on. And that could keep you busy pretty much over Cholamayit and the rest of Yantif and beyond. The goal is not to feel like you have to learn everything. You know, you everyone will be inclined to find things that speak to them. But what I'd like to do is really give you a bit of a perspective on some of the themes that I tried to highlight. I mentioned this in the Pesach Dover, and I think it's really very true on so many levels. When we think about Haggadah of Pesach, why we decided to do this particular Inyan, to put out a Haggadah. You know, the Inyan of Sibetzias Mitzrayim is very personal. I know that the president spoke, President Rabbi Berman, spoke over Shabbos, and then he spoke beautifully in Tinek over Shabbos about the idea of every individual's personal Mesorah in their family, and to feel how they're part of that Mesorah, part of that chain. Sibetzias Mitzrayim is an opportunity for every individual to feel connected to the story of Klal Yisrael and their individual story. And what I write about in the Pesach Dover is that I think this is not a coincidence that there's so many Perushim and Svarim that have come out over the centuries on the Haggadah. Haggadah Shel Pesach with this Perush, with that Perush, Mamish going back to the times of the Rishonim all the way to our own day. And I think the reason for that is because the experience of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a way of allowing every individual, Chayiv Adam Liras Es Atzmo Kihu Yatzam Mitzrayim, to feel that much more elevated and connected to what it's all about, to what it means to be an Obed Hashem, to be part of what it means to have experienced this. It's not just an event that happened in the past. It's an event that gets into our kishkes, into our neshama, whether we fully are aware of it, whether we're not. It touches us in the deepest recesses of our soul. And therefore, that mitzias, that reality, is naturally going to impact on how everyone reacts to Pesach, to the Seder. That's why the Seder is something that even if someone is not so observant necessarily of all the halachos and mitzvahs of the Torah, but the Seder is something that draws them because they feel that there's something that speaks to them, because that's the pinta liyid. That's what, if they're connected in some way to that, then they want to be at the Seder. They want to experience it. There's something about it that touches them. So halachas come to come as someone who's from and who's a ben Torah, who learns Torah. So the way that this is going to impact is that when they read the Haggadah, they're going to naturally be struck by this, by that, by this idea, by this paragraph, by this vort. Memela, it's the way that you yourself as individual are impacted by this. There is a structure. There's a structure of the Leil HaSeder. In fact, one of the things I mentioned in the Mamorim is how the word Seder itself means that it's not just that I'm doing this mitzvah and that mitzvah in a vacuum, but the idea that the mitzvos are all integrated. Again, Rabbi Berman spoke last week a little bit on this idea, how there is a connection between the Sipur and the, you might call them props, the mitzvahs that are meant to enhance and to reinforce the Sipur and vice versa, and many makoros that speak to that idea that the Sipur is not just done for the sake of Sipur, but the Sipur is done through the matzah, through the maror, through what you have in front of you. There's a halos, if you could say, of a shulchan. Again, look at one of the mamorim, it talks about the shulchan and the role of the shulchan, the akiras shulchan. These are all sugyas in Ari Pesachim, and how it's done today is another question. But the concept of having a shulchan, and having a ka'ira, and having these particular symbols in front of us as we're telling the story, all of this is meant to connect us to the totality of the experience. And it's not therefore just the fact that we did a mitzvah. We went, Sukkot, you took the lulav. Okay, you took the lulav and shul, you said halal, but that's it. Here, the entire experience is so intertwined so that at the end of everything, we say chasal sidur pesach kilchas. Not just do we feel good that we mekayim this mitzvah and that mitzvah, but we've done something beyond that. We've done a seder. So every individual, from based on who they are, their upbringing, their inclinations, their knowledge, is somehow going to take the structure of this of the Haggadah, and there's a text, there's certain paragraphs that are considered to be more basic, more essential to how Chazal wanted us to mekayim this mitzvah doraisa sibitzias mitzrayim. And this again, you learn through the Mishnayos and Avi Psachim, you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, we all know more or less the key paragraphs, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, the drushes that we do of Arami Yovid Avi, the Mitchila paragraph, and the paragraph Adam Hayinu. And also the other paragraphs also speak in some way or form to the larger Inyan, Abba Banim. So everyone who sees this is going to be touched. So therefore, what I'm doing here is my personal take on things that over the years, it wasn't like I decided 3 months ago to decide to write Haggadah. It's not like that. It was many years. Every year, another thing strikes you, another thing you notice. And this is something everybody can do here. You're Baruch Hashem, you have many years ahead of you. And it's true about learning in general, but specifically the Inyan of Leil HaSeder. You see a vort that touches you, you feel good about it. Wow, that's amazing. Don't just let it be out there, you know. Maybe you'll tell it over to one person. Have a notebook. Jot it down. You know, this notebook is Ha'aris on the Haggadah. Maybe, you know, next year you'll have something else. You'll add maybe 20 years from now, you'll also publish Haggadah. Whether you publish it or not is not the point. It's your connection. You are malakid for yourself. Those things that touched you, things that you heard, things that you saw, this is how you are connecting yourself to something like this. That's, I think, the first words of Hagdama that I want to say. So therefore, this is not exhaustive. There are so many Haggadahs out there. There are Haggadahs that are malakate themselves on anything and everything. Otsa Mefarshi Haggadah from Mechon Yerushalayim. Rav Shapsi Frankel has a Haggadah. The Torah Chaim has many of the Rishonim on the page. You can literally sit on one sentence and one paragraph, and you can be there for, you know, for days and weeks and months. So what is it? At the end of the day, there are things that I felt I was connecting with, for other things that I've written, other things I've thought about, and the mail, this is what comes out. This is just a way of introducing Inyan. So now, with that in mind, let's share a little bit about some meta themes and how they might relate to aspects of the Haggadah, and then some of the specific types of diyukim that I try to make, and ideas that I try to glean. Some of them are my own, some of them are things that I saw in others' Perushim, that to me bring out a Nekuda that you would not at first notice it, but then you realize it very well may very well be the hidden Kavana here. You could call it like Omek HaPshat, you know, within the idea of the words of the Haggadah. Okay. So some general themes that are throughout the Haggadah and also in the Mamorim in the back. I wrote a sefer going back about maybe 14 years ago, called Mitzvah HaShabbos, Mimara at Sinai. And that sefer is out of print already for a while. I recently just printed a few copies by paperback just to have it. But then I realized that it would be very appropriate to take a section of that and put it in the back of the Haggadah, and that's the Kuntres at the end of the Haggadah. You might say the thesis of that sefer is to trace the mitzvah of Shabbos as one unique mitzvah from the time it was first given till Matan Torah. Because Shabbos is one of those mitzvahs that preceded Matan Torah. There are other mitzvahs as well that preceded Matan Torah. We all know, once you read Parshas Bo, you right away come into Kiddush HaChodesh, and all the mitzvahs relating to Karban Pesach, and Achilas Matz is mentioned, and the Issur Chametz, Achilas Chametz, Bal Yiroi, Bal Yimatzei, and also Tefillin is mentioned at the end of Parshas Bo. So you have mitzvahs that are called Kodem HaDibur, before the Dibur of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And then you have, again, in Parshas Bishalach an allusion to mitzvahs that were given there as well. And that's a pasuk in Bishalach that states that when they got, Kar Yisrael moved on from after Kriyas Yamsuf, they got to a place, 3 days were without water, and then the water was bitter, and Hashem found a way to show Moshe to make the water sweet. It says in the pasuk, Sham Samo Choko Mishpat. Hashem placed before them certain mitzvot, certain laws. Chazal interpret that, Rashi quotes it, that they were given Shabbos, Kibbutz Ve'em in one place, Rashi says, Chazal say was in Mara, Dinim, maybe Paraduma. So there was already a giving of certain mitzvahs preceding Matan Torah. We also know that by the Man, Kar Yisrael heard a lot about mitzvah of Shabbos. And finally, Aseres HaDibros, you have Zachos Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. So, the question that really the entire Sefer, Mitzvah Shabbos, was revolving around was, this is more like the springboard to talk about a lot of things, but this became the anchor of the Sefer, was to understand the evolution of this mitzvah. The mitzvah didn't just come into being at one point and that's it. It was given in stages. Just like there were mitzvahs before Matan Torah and then there was Matan Torah. So Shabbos is sort of a paradigm of the idea that there could be a mitzvah that's given and then it's given again and then it's given again. So what does that mean? Shabbos is what it is. We know how Chazal defined the inyan of Shabbos in terms of the Lamites Malachis being the Malachis that are Usser. We have certain mitzvahs Aseh of Kiddush. We have Zachar v'Shamor. We have mitzvahs v'Divrei Kabbalah. But exactly what does it mean that Shabbos was given and again and again? So really, you could talk about this for a whole Sefer, that's really what it was, and talk about all different mahalchim to try to understand what was happening here, what was happening in Mara, what was happening by the Man, which was a place called Olush, and what about Sinai. Now, one of the dimensions to this question, which I think very much ties us to the Seder, is to understand what it means that we received the Torah at Har Sinai, but we were already chosen to receive the Torah by being taken out of Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim was a stage in a Bechira. Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amim. Kar Yisrael have a mission. Kar Yisrael are considered an Am Segula. Hashem says, v'yisam v'yisagula mikol ha'amim right before Matan Torah. But it wasn't just then. It was already, Hashem invested in us, you could say, by taking us out of Mitzrayim. The Hotzeisi, the Hitzalti, the Ga'alti, ultimately the Lakachti. The Lakachti is Matan Torah. But the Matan Torah process originated for Kar Yisrael as a nation with the Hotzeisi. If you wanted, you could even go further back. Obviously, that's also, we're not starting with that. We can go back to the Avos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already connected himself with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There was a bris ben Absarim, and this is very much an anchor in the Haggadah. We'll soon talk about Vehisha Amda, which is a very critical transition in the Haggadah from what's before it to what's after it. But it's really the fulcrum of so much of what we're trying to describe in the Haggadah. Avraham Avinu engages in a bris ben Absarim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Iker bris ben Absarim, and there's a mimer just on that alone in the back of the Haggadah. The idea was Hashem is promising Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. And we discussed this in the Sugis together in Gittin, right? The different nations and the borders that we mentioned there. But part of that communication of the Bris Bin Absarim was that there's going to be a Golas Mitzrayim that's going to come first. Yadoa Teda Ki Geya Zarech HaBeretz Golahem Abameth Shana, however you interpret Abameth Shana, and then Doravi Yeshuvuhena is going to be a return to Eretz Yisrael. So when we experience Golas Mitzrayim, it's really reenacting what Avraham Avinu was told. Perhaps even the fact that he went out of Mitzrayim foreshadowed Klal Yisrael. The Ramban says that maybe that was based on Chazal, that was Maisa Avisim Labanim. So even Klal Yisrael's emergence as a nation is itself not coming out of thin air. It's predicated on the bris with the Avos, Avraham Avinu first, and then Yitzchak and Yaakov. But even if we speak about Klal Yisrael themselves, so here we have a process. The selection of Kar Yisrael begins with Yitzias Mitzrayim, culminating in Matan Torah. Matan Torah is also a model for the notion called Geirus. How do we learn out that a ger needs to go through mila, tevila, hartzlas damim, b'shas hamikdash, that with karbanos that a ger has to bring, kabbalas mitzvahs? What's the paradigm for gerus? The answer is, the paradigm is learned at Gemara Yevamos, on Perka Choletz, from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael had a mass conversion to become fully integrated as, you might say, Kedushas Yisrael, because they had Mila in Mitzrayim, Bedamai Chayi, and then they had Tevila, Chazal learned out at Matan Torah, there was a Tevila, and Moshe Rabbeinu had the Nair B'nai Yisrael offer Karbanos, as described in Parshas Mishpatim, that's Karvan, and it was Kabbalas Mitzvahs, because Moshe Rabbeinu had a Sefer HaBris that he wrote, what was in it, there's a Machokas Rashi Ramban, what was written in the Sefer HaBris, he read it, and the response to that reading of the Sefer HaBris was Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma, we always quote all the time, Nasa V'Nishma. What was the context of Nasa V'Nishma? It was a response to a Sefer HaBris that Moshe Rabbeinu read, Machokas, exactly when he read it, and what he read, what was in it, whether it was the day right before the Aseres HaDibros were given, so it was leading up to Aseres HaDibros, or it was the day after. But the idea being that Klal Yisrael underwent Geirus. And this is the model for Geirus Gedoros. Gedoros, carbon is not Ma'akev, the Gemara learns out, but meanwhile, the model of Geirus is embedded within Matan Torah and Klal Yisrael. But notice, there's a step called Mila. Mila was in Mitzrayim. Tevila, Kabbalas Mitzvahs in the formal sense, was only later. But the process had begun. And this, of course, brings up fascinating topics such as the status of a ger shemo v'lo toval, which is a machokas tanoim, and we hold that it's not fully a ger yet, but there may be something that's already happened, and the process has begun. Klal Yisrael had mila, and not yet tevila, not yet the full extent of the process of gerus. This is the twilight zone, you might say, the window of time between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, and this is when Shabbos inserts itself into our history. So, the perspective that I want to discuss right now, which I'm using this as a model, because really this is really part of so much of the Haggadah, is to understand that we're starting a process every year. Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're reliving that. Now we're going to count Svira, we're going to go to Shavuos. But this is already defining the essence of what it means to be an Eved Hashem, because the foundation of all mitzvahs is Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, there could be mitzvahs already that are entering into the equation for Klal Yisrael, even though they didn't yet receive Aseres HaDibros yet. And then the question becomes, so how do you define that? It's a preface, it's a prelude to Matan Torah, it's a chelk of Matan Torah. What was Shabbos to Klal Yisrael before Zachos Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh was uttered as Aseres HaDibros? What was Kiddush HaChodesh? What was Mitzvah Matzah that was given Gedoros? Matan Torah has begun in some way. So this is one inyan that I think is quite striking. Number one, because of the Nusach of Kiddush. There is a difference between the Kiddush of Leil Shabbos and the Kiddush of Yantif. How does the bracha begin on Shabbos, a Kiddush? Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav l'ratzavanu, and so on. There is a parenthesis later on, Kivanu Bacharta, that you'll see many people say it, not everybody, but that's at the end. But it's not how it begins. It says, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav l'ratzavanu. Contrast that to Kiddush on Yantif. How does it begin? If you have your Haggadahs, or if you don't, you know anyway. Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. So the Abudram, one of the Rishonim who comments on Siddur, asks, why does Shabbos Kiddush differ in the Nusach from Yantif? Why does Shabbos Kiddush begin Asher Kiddushan B'mitzvosav and not Asher Bochar Banu like on Yantif? And the Abudram answers, because Shabbos was given before Aseres HaDibros. Shabbos was given in Mara. Va'adayin lo bochar behem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad shenasan lehem HaTorah. Hashem has not yet chosen then. The Bechira was only chal, you could say, at Matan Torah. So you can't say Hashem bochar banu right away at the outset. Maybe we'll add, but we say Hashem kivad v'charta afterwards. The answer is, of course, because ultimately Shabbos became a chelk of the Bechira. Shabbos became part of Aseres HaDibros. Shabbos ultimately merges together with the full Bechiras Yisrael, but not the beginning of the Kiddush. Okay. Continues Abu Dram, however, Kishenitztavu ayamim tovim kfar nasan lehem haTorah ubacha behem. When they went to Stavu Yom Tovim, it was post-Matan Torah. So says the Abu Dram, quoted by the Beis Yosef, also B'shem the Orchis Chaim. And here, I have a simple question. Tenach Shavuos Sukkos, which comes subsequent to Matan Torah. But what about the night of the Seder? We have Kiddush at the night of the Seder that begins with Shebochar Banu. And the mitzvahs of Leil Pesach were already given in Parshas Bo. We're told there that the day is going to be a Yom Lezikaron Gedolos as well. There's going to be a Shabbat Yomim Chag of Pesach. And this is before Matan Torah. So how could Abu Dram say such a simple answer that we don't say a Shabbat Harbanu on Shabbos because Shabbos was before Matan Torah, but Yom Tovim were after, but what about Pesach? And I think you see a big chiddush here, that Abu Dram views the mitzvahs that are connecting to Chag HaPesach, the mitzvahs of Parshas Bo, as not something that is short of the ultimate Bechira, but defining, synonymous with that Bechira. In other words, Shabbos had an evolution. Shabbos maybe didn't rise to the level of the full extent of Bechiras Yisrael. There was some element of Bechiras Yisrael. Perhaps it's a process, no doubt. It's not all or nothing. But you can't begin at Shabbat Banu until later in the Nusach, Kivan of Acharta. Because Shabbos, when it first was presented, the Bechira is not yet complete. But I think you see over here that regarding Pesach, the mitzvahs that are connecting to Leil HaSeder are synonymous with the Bechira of Matan Torah as well. It's a fascinating diuk, I think, from the Abu Dra. But really, the idea that I'm touching on, which is so basic to the Leil HaSeder and Mitzvah HaLaila, is the inyan of Bechiras Yisrael. Bechiras Yisrael is embedded within the Leil HaSeder. And this maybe will take a little bit flash ahead, and maybe we'll go backwards later at some point, but there's a very important paragraph that begins, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Seinu. So let's talk about that paragraph for a second. That's right after the Arba Banim. And this is, we know there are two opinions. Whatever I'm telling you, obviously, is so much more Shekasuv Kan, and you know, V'idach Perusha Zil Gemar, you'll be able to learn and find more. But there is a famous machlokes the Gemara brings in Avi Tzachin to interpret the words of the Mishnah, Mascha Bignus Misayim B'Shevach. So there's part of the protocol, how we do Sipur. Chazal wanted it to be that we begin with some sense of shame and degradation, and then we conclude with Shevach, with praise. So one opinion is that the Gnus is Avodim Hayinu, the Shevach is that we were redeemed, meaning the focus being on the physical component of the redemption, the liberation on the physical level. The opinion of Rav is that we focus on Gnus in a spiritual sense, and that's what this paragraph of Mitchila is all about. Mitchila of the Zohar V'Seinu. So originally, our fathers were worshipping idols, let's translate for now that way. And now, Kirvana Makam Avodaso, now Hashem brought us close to His service. And then from this we quote a pasuk in Yehoshua. So just before we even make the yukim, I think it's pretty clear that what we're trying to convey here is exactly what we just spoke about. The affirmation here in the Haggadah is the Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are His chosen people, and we have a mission in the world, and we stand for something. But the way that we present it is how it all started without a moral compass, without a sense of belief in one God. It was Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And somehow or other, Hashem, Avraham Avinu found HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu found Avraham Avinu, as the case may be, Va'ekach es Avichem es Avraham. But the idea being that it continued. And it's not a sure bet that it will continue, because Avraham Avinu had many children. But that unique relationship was only going to be transmitted through one of the children. That's Retinlos Yitzchak. But Abba Azaro, maybe they have a place in the world, but not the unique status that we have. The Neketura were many, but they were sent down to Eretz Kedem. But Retinlos Yitzchak, Ve'es Brisi Yochem Es Yitzchak. Now, from Yitzchak also, it wasn't automatically going to go to everybody. Ve'etin is Opsukim Yehoshua. Ve'etin Yitzchak is Yaakov as Esav. Okay? But now, it's not both. Etin Esav is Harseir. Hey, Esav got his share, and it's ironic because Harseir is one of those lands, as we discussed in Shir, when we discussed the Inyan of Gvulas Haaretz. So it's one of those lands that's from the 10 nations that were promised to Avraham Avinu, Bispin, Absarim. But for now, Hashem says in Parshas Devarim, it's not for us. It has to be given Yerusha le'esav nasati es haseir. So that's the extent of his stake in the Nachla of Avraham Avinu. He gets haseir, l'reshes also, for the time being in this world. But for all intents and purposes, beyond that, he's out. He's opted out. It was a decision he made. He opted out. And we know he did on the day that Yaakov sells him he sells to Yaakov the Bechora, and basically, ultimately, it was clinched when Yaakov got the brachas from Yitzchak, and Esav gets Haseir. He didn't want to take the path of Vavod Ve'inu Osam Abmeus Shana, even though it's going to come at the end with the goat at the end of the road, which is Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov one of Yerdim Mitzrayim. But the idea is, this is the continuity. So this is the Pashup Shat in the Pesukim Yehoshua. But let's take it even deeper, okay? A deeper level. This is the basic idea of the paragraph. A couple of things to notice. The first couple words, Mitchila Ovde Avodazara Hayu Avisein. Now, grammatically, there's something awkward about the language. The Pashup Shat, and no question, many Rishonim learned it this way, it means our forefathers were worshipping idols. Whether that means most likely the parents of Avram Avinu, Terach, as it says in the Pasuk in Yehoshua, Terach Avi Avram Avi Nachor, maybe even Avram Avinu himself, as some would explain it, because he was also worshipping idols at an earlier age. But there's something odd about the way it's phrased. Mitchila ovdi avodzara hayu avisenu. It should have said mitchila avisenu hayu ovdi avodzara. Grammatically, would sound better. Ovdi hayu avisenu. Speak about avisenu and then say who, what they did. But we'll ask another question, and the two questions are going to answer each other. The Gemara says ein kornel avisel shlosha. We reserve the term avisenu, certainly in our davening, to refer to the avos. Okay, there are kashas here and there that you can ask from other places that maybe indicate that even Kal Yisrael themselves, who have Mitzrayim, Mekod Avosenu, but generally speaking, we assume that the avos, Avosenu, is reserved to the avos. You don't call Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, Avosenu, Moshe Rabbeinu. Not Avosenu, not Avinu, not Moshe Avinu. By the same token, we don't refer to anyone before Avram as Avosenu. We don't refer to Terach as one of the Avos. It's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They are the Avos. So how could you say that Avosenu is referring to looking ourselves and relating ourselves to Terach? So the Dubna Magid said something very powerful. He said, one kasha really answers the other. Because we read the sentence and we translated it incorrectly. Not that the sentence is saying that Mitchila, our fathers were Avodah Zarah. That means we're referring to Terach as our father. No. The Zayda Terach? No. Terach isn't our Zayda. Rather, Mitchila, before there was a Bechira that Hashem extended to Avram Avinu to cut the umbilical cord, the spiritual connection to what preceded him, so then what would have been the destiny? What would have been, who would have been Avosenu? Terach. They would have had the stamp of Avosenu. But Achs v'kemarkam avodaso means that Avram was a new beginning. Avram was the first reborn Jew. Avram Avinu has no connection to Terach. That's why Vayomas Terach Becharan ends Parshas Noach, and then begins Lechecha with Lechecha Mi'artzecha. Cut your ties. This is what makes Klal Yisrael unique. Avram is a new creation. B'hi bara'am. Therefore, it's starting new. And that's exactly the point of what the Pasuk emphasizes. If you look at the nuances of the Lashon HaPasuk, says the Dibna Magid in Yoshua, when it says seemingly a redundant phrase, it says, "Mitchilo," it says, "Kol Amar Hashem," says Yoshua, "Be'evar no Yoshua Osechem Me'olam." What's the Me'olam? Meaning, that's, they were Avosechem Me'olam. The Me'olam, they were Avosechem. Way back when, they were, would have been designated as Avosechem. Terach Avi Avram. But, Va'ekach Es Avichem Es Avraham. What is it? Es Avichem Es Avram. He means to say, I took Avram. Not, I took Avram Avichem. He's highlighting that Nekuda itself. That I took to be Avichem Avram. It's not no longer Avosechem Me'olam. They're Me'olam Avosechem. But I made Avram to be your father. No longer do you view yourself as in Mesiaches to Terach. This is, I think, a very golden pshat in the words themselves. And again, to take it another level. I also want to notice another phrase that's interesting. And that's the Kervanu HaMakom La'avodaso. You could say Hashem bores close to his service, that's avodaso. You could also say Kervanu HaMakom La'avdo, to serve him, like we say V'tar Libeinu La'avdecha Be'emes, or in Uvolet Sion La'avdo B'lev Avshalem. But here it says Kervanu HaMakom La'avodaso. Where else do you find that? Hashidein Avinu Esorasecha Kervanu HaMakom La'avodasecha, or in Atavachat Tanu V'kevtan HaMakom La'avodasecha. What's the difference between saying La'avdo, to serve him, and La'avodasa? So I have a number, it's a deal that I was always struck by, and I have a few different mahalchim, but there's a common denominator to most of them, and that is that, going back to what we started with, there's two inyanim here. There's the actual avoda that a person who's an eved does to the master, the poel, the avoda, this regimen, that regimen, this mitzvah, that mitzvah. But there's something even before that, and that is the status for itself. This person who's an Eved is stamped as an Eved. The mitzvah of being an Eved is its own chalos. The fact that we are Avdi Hashem is the framework for the fact that we do what we do as Avdi Hashem. And that defines the nature of our obligations. And this speaks again to perhaps a larger topic of the contrast, you might say, between our chiyuv in Taryag mitzvahs, and say, for example, a chiyuv of a Ben Noach, who also has a code called Shem Mitzvah Ben Noach. But there may be a fundamental difference. It's not the pshat that we have Taryag, meaning we have seven plus 606. But as far as the seven, the nature of our commitment is identical to the seven that are Ben Noach's obligations. No. The very identity of Klal Yisrael is that we are avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avdei Hashem. Not just, if someone's not an Eved, they make a commitment, I'm working for you, I agree to do X, Y, and Z. I'm not making machayiv my guf, I'm not making myself obligated for that which I'm going to do. I'm just committing myself, as I have my own identity, my own autonomous status, but I'm a poel, I work for you. Klal Yisrael's relationship to mitzvahs is not that. It's that we are niskadesh b'kedushas Yisrael asher kitshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivan. So it's not just that tzivoy, I'm committing myself to something, but I see that tzivoy as defining who I am. And that's the notion of la'avudasa. We're not just praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that we have mitzvahs. We're praising ourselves for that which even precedes mitzvahs, the status itself. The Maral, this I don't know if I quote it or not, but the Maral writes in Gur Aryeh, in Parshas Bo, and the famous Rashi that stresses the connection between Dan Pesach and Dan Mila. Dan Pesach and Dan Mila. Says the Maral in Gur Aryeh that these two mitzvahs relate to each other as follows. Dan Mila is Abrischa Shechasamta Bivsareinu. That's the status of being an Eved. The status itself. And then Pesach represents the acting out of that status, the being an Obey, the Avatas Avoda Azos. So there's the inyan of being an Eved, and there's the Abdus being carried out. Mila is the status of being an Eved, Pesach is being Obey. That's the idea here. There's le'avdo and there's le'avudas. And I think there's a lot of practical aspects on a Musa Haskel level, even if you don't speak in terms of the lumdis. But oftentimes, people miss this idea that we're not perfect. We're all far from perfect in terms of how we keep up with all the minutiae of halacha. But it's important to appreciate and acknowledge the fact that being part of a framework is a tremendous thing in its own right. And from that, we tried to be meticulous as much as we could to carry out the details. But sometimes a person could be maybe even a little bit better than the other guy in terms of shmiras and mitzvahs, but they may be missing the ikker. They don't realize that where it's coming from. It's coming from a soul identity, S-O-U-L, a sense of that connection of a kedusha, of being part of the Klal Yisrael and what it represents and its destiny and where it comes from. And then carry out as much as you're able to. But being part of the framework is so important. And that's what makes Kari so unique as Am Echad Ba'aretz. This is an idea that I think it can be gleaned from the La'avudas, so that's the Lashon over here. Once I mentioned Dan Pesach Damila, let me mention tangentially an interesting vort. I had an opportunity to also integrate within the Haggadah some cute, I don't mean it in a chas v'shalom, in a pejorative way, but very, very much appealing gems, I should say, from Rav David Feinstein, because I had a chance to hear him give Haggadah Shirim or Talmidim there for a couple of years. One year in particular, I wrote it up afterwards, so I had it together with my other notes, so I integrated within the Haggadah. So, very beautiful things, you'll find it interspersed throughout the Haggadah. So he once touched as follows, B'damayi chayi, twice. One is Dan Pesach, one is Dan Mila. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. So he said, because these two mitzvahs have something in common, in that they are mitzvahs asei sheyesh bo karis. Typically, karis only comes for violating a los asei, those averes that the Torah says there's karis associated with Shabbos and so on. But these are mitzvahs asei that if a person doesn't observe them, there's a chiv karis. So he said, b'damayich chayi, b'damayich chayi, dan pesach dan mila, chayi means the opposite of karis, that there will be life and there won't be cut short. So that's his height of those two words. Just very golden, short, sharp, and to the point. Let me talk about some other types of diyukim that I think are very indicative of larger ideas and insights, just from the way that a word is phrased in Haggadah, using that as a springboard. We talk about l'saper b'yetzias Mitzrayim. We say three times in the paragraph of Vadev Hayinu. Right, we say, Mitzvah Aleinu L'Sater B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we say, B'Chol Amar B'Lesater B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. And finally, in the story of the Chamisha Zekenin, V'Yimisam B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Grammatically, you find the word Sipor in Chumash with followed by the word Es, L'Sater Es. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisrael, Eis, Kol HaShe'as HaShem Paro Mitzrayim. It's not L'Saper B, it's L'Saper S. What's the difference? The Rav's Haggadah, Siach HaGrid, says it. He says it in his own way, but what I'm saying is an elaboration, I believe, on what you find in the name of the Rav. But I brought a Rashi into the fold, into the mix, that I think really highlights it in a very more specific type of a way. So I quote a Rashi in Parshas Shmos. The Pasuk, and it's also interesting because it's connecting a little bit to Shabbos and Mitzrayim also, which is in the back of the Haggadah, one of the Mamorim. Ka Yisrael had a period while they were in Mitzrayim, in Golis Mitzrayim, before things got worse and Paro took away the straw, they had a respite every week. And that was Shmiras Shabbos, whatever that means exactly. It wasn't a mitzvah, that didn't happen tomorrow. But it was something that gave them inspiration and gave them a break, that they wouldn't burn out. And this we know from Chazal, and it's fascinating how Chazal built a whole legend about it, connecting to Moshe Rabbeinu being responsible for that. He came to Paro, he grew up, as we know, in Paro's palace, and different versions in the Midrashim. Again, you can look at the Maimar in the back about the details. Moshe Rabbeinu sold Paro on the idea that he should give these Jewish slaves a break once a week. On Shabbos, you'll get more productive labor out of these guys if you give them a day off. Okay, pick a day, my Moses, pick a day. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, how about this day of the week? And they picked a day, and Kachavi. They announced, went out, that the Jews are to be off on this day. Now, mind you, maybe it wasn't Shabbos. Who knew if it was the right day of the week? I responded to the Shabbos. So there's a medrash that the Torah brings, that Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, that we say Shabbos morning, that Moshe realized by the man that, the days are following exactly the same cheshbon. That day that they were resting in Mitzrayim, pum, that was also the Yom HaShvi. Wow, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, the gift that Christ had in Mitzrayim, that was in fact the Yom HaShvi. That's a medrash that the Torah quotes as well. So, what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu finally comes to Paro at age 80 and makes the case to Paro to let Klal Yisrael go? Paro gets infuriated and he takes away the straw and he keeps the quota the same, and things get very, very dark and bitter and difficult. And before it gets better, it gets worse. But that's the simple pshat in the pasuk. But the Chazal see in the pasuk something else that changed as well. What changed? Paro's language is the following. Tichbad ha'avoda al hanashin. They make the work intensified. V'yal yishu, listen carefully to the words, v'yal yishu v'divrei shaker. What is the translation of the word yishu? And what does it mean that Paro says, v'yal yishu v'divrei shaker? So there are some mefarshei pshat, learn yishu milashon, to turn. Like, for example, who can tell me a pasuk like that? Those who daven ritzei nusach svard, v'lisfilasam she'ei, to turn. Rashi rejects that interpretation out of hand. Because Rashi says, the meaning was to turn, it wouldn't say v'al yishu bidive shaker, it would say al yishu lidive, el dive shaker, lidive shaker. So Rashi interprets al yishu milashin, like it says in Tehillim, v'esheh b'chukecha tamid, milashin, to speak, to converse. V'lo matzasi, says Rashi, shimosh shel beis mucha l'achareyem, avo acher lashin dibur, kimis asik l'daber b'davar, no for lashin shimosh b'beis. V'atidaber mirim v'aron b'moshe, hamalach hadover bi l'daber bom, v'adaber b'edo secha. And so to hear, Yishu b'divishak. Just a little more background, so the Midrashim fill us in. What would the divishaker that Paro is saying they shouldn't, according to Rashi, speak about, according to other Mepharshim, turn to? What's a divishaker? They had Megillos. They had scrolls in Mitzrayim that they read on Shabbos. And those scrolls gave them chizuk. Yaakov Kamenetsky in Chumash has some conjectures about what exactly was the in these scrolls, what was written, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizmor maybe, other things, Sefer Bereishis, gave them hope. And Paro wanted to remove that sliver of hope, and that's why, like it says also in the pasuk there, V'yishbatam osam misivlosam, he wants to stop them from resting. That's the same diuk of the pasuk. No more Shabbos, no more straw, al yishu b'divishoker. Let them not speak about, now, what's the b'divishoker? The answer is that when you have the bays next to Dibor, it means you're not just saying something as information, but you're speaking about the topic. You're engaged in the topic. There's an expression in Yiddish, redden in learning, speaking and learning. Moshe told Yisro this fact, that fact, by Yisap Moshe Hos Eis Ko Asher Asasha. But to Daba Aram B'Miriam B'Moshe, in other words, about Moshe, about the topic. You're involving yourself with the topic. The chiyuv of Sibitzias Mitzrayim is not, to speak a room around the topic, to be involved with the topic, not just to tell this happened, that happened, but to tell the story. L'saper bi means, let it not be turning to that topic, to speaking within that realm called these divrei shaker that Paro referred to as things that are vain. We, Leil Pesach, and by the way, we have the last laugh because we got Shabbos back, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? And I once mentioned Tikanta Shabbos, is the word Tikanta is reminiscent of the word tochen levenin, which is the quote of Paro that he wanted to keep constant when he took away the straw. And here we use the same word, tikkata Shabbos, in connection to our tefillah of Musaf of Shabbos. But meanwhile, we have this idea of lesapet biyetzias mitzrayim, and that's what the Rav said in his own short way, that the idea is that you see yourself as part of the story. So you're telling the story as if you're holding in the story. So therefore, it's lesapet biyetzias mitzrayim. I have an idea that I want to share also about Kol HaMarvel Lesaper. There's so many ways you can take it. Kol HaMarvel Lesaper, first of all, in what sense, Kol HaMarvel Lesaper? The more you do it, the more praiseworthy it is. And some say, Harei Zeh Meshubach, is not going on what you did, but on you. Harei Zeh, the person, is Meshubach. It could mean that you speak a lot about it. It could also mean that you go beyond this man, like you see in the story that's mentioned here, that they went, according to Rav Lezben Azariah, the mitzvah would have expired at Chatzos, because it's dependent on Karban Pesach, which is only till Chatzos, and he went Kol HaLaila, and Rabbi Akiva would have ended by the morning, but he went even till Zman Kriya Shema. So that's also karma, but Pashup Shab means the more that you do it. Why is this such a special thing to emphasize Kol HaMarvel Lesaper? So this is my hargash on this. And I think this is also very important you sold about the whole Seder. There's a paragraph later on in the Haggadah, Baruch Shomer Havtachaso Yisrael. We praise Hashem right before Vehisha Amda. We acknowledge the Bris Ben Avsarim, and we connect that to Hashem's giving a promise, and he calculated that there will be an end to the Golus, Yedor Teda, and then Gamas HaGoy Shevda'achim Puchash Gadol, and Hashem kept his promise. So the question everyone asks is, of course, why wouldn't he keep his promise? If I give you a promise, so you're praising me for keeping the promise, shouldn't I keep a promise? But I think it's not necessarily such a kasha, because the point is that by emphasizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeping his promise, we are being edim to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah is emes. Emes means to be ames an haftacha, ames haftachasa. And we want to do that because, first of all, that's part of our mission, to spread the word, to be Kaddishim Shemayim, to know that Kol Devarav Emes Vatzedek, we say by the Nevi'im. And this is the prime example of it, but the reason why it's relevant now is because it also gives us hope for the future. Because we have, throughout the Nevi'im, and also in Chumash, promises about the Geula. And part of the experience of the Seder is to reinforce the feelings of Tzipisa Yeshua, and to have it ingrained within us, to know and to believe in our heart of hearts, and to know that there will be a geula, because Yetzias Mitzrayim is the program, the paradigm for all geulos that will follow, and ultimately the geula asida. And therefore, to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the more we do it, the more that we are becoming conscious and aware of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of emes is what it is. Kadosh Baruch Hu is ma'ames haftachaso. He's a shomer haftachaso. He's waiting to do it, shomer milashan amtana, and he keeps his word. Rashi brings at the beginning of Parshas Va'era that Hashem says to Moshe, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem, says Rashi, that with the avos it was a promise, it was haftacha, but it hadn't yet come to fruition yet. I promised to take them out of Mitzrayim, to take Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to give them the land. It hasn't come yet. Now it's the beginning of that process. Now it's going to be a Geulas Mitzrayim, which is going to culminate in the Heves Yeschem El Haaretz. So it's the beginning of the unfolding of the Haftacha. That's the Midas HaEmes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we're Mitzarev to the three Parshas of Kriya Shema, which end with Yetzias Mitzrayim, the word Emes. And we repeat Emes again, connected the three parshas of the Shema, Emes Shatosh Amokeinu Malchav Ismalkeinu Malchav Seinu, and then we have a Nusach Sfat Emes Mitzrayim Galtanu, because it's highlighting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaEmes, and therefore that's the inyan Kol HaMarvel Lesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the more that we're able to connect with that theme, the more that we reinforce for ourselves that just as Misha Asa Nisim Laviseinu, the Golos and Avdus Lecheirus, Hu Yigalos and Bekav, the more that we are in touch, you see, he did it, he came through for us. He came through for us in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and within that is the potential to be unfolded, ultimately, that he will come through for us in the Geula as well, in the Geula Asida. And that's what Ek Yesha Ek is all about. The name that Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu by the Sneh is that midah of Emes also. There's a gematria there also that connects to the word Emes. But even on a simple level, Eya Iman Bitzarezu, just as I'll be with them Bitzarez Acheres. I'll get you through this. I'm with you now. And this is what gives Kaiso hope throughout the Golos. These are words that have been said, and this is another important nakuda to highlight. These are words. We are here in the comfort of America, in that 21st century, saying these words, you know, and we live, Baruch Hashem, a lifestyle that we feel is comfortable for most of us, if not all of us. And we have to think back to Klal Yisrael history and the fact that these very same passages were recited in all kinds of dire circumstances, whether it was in the throes of the Shoah, whether it was just down through periods of pogroms and difficulties in the Sionos. And the point is, what gave us hope over that time? These words. And we have to find a way to let these words give us hope right now as well. And this is, I think, mamish omek hapshat of the Haggadah. We're not saying off the daf. This is on the daf. This is mamish the words themselves. This is the Karmar B'Lisabres and Meshuvach. This is, I think, what Vihisha Amda now is. Let's maybe flash at the Vihisha Amda and bring it out as well. I have a number of diukim in the language here as well. Vihisha Amda Lavisenu is a Lashon Amda. What is Vihi? What stood for us? So the simple pshat is the Bris Ben Absarim. The Bris Ben Absarim of Avraham Avinu was not just a promise to get Eretz Yisrael after we get through the Golos Mitzrayim. It was also a promise to redeem us in the ultimate sense after we go through the whole cycle of history of all the Golios. And that's why we say Vihi Sha'amda, that same Bris Ben Absarim, that promise, that Haftach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is why we are able to continue to survive. If there be an end to Klal Yisrael, there can't be an end game. There can't be a Gula Sida. We won't make it that far. We won't get to the finish line. So the fact that Klal Yisrael has Nitzchius is because of that Shmira that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has provided, that with all that has happened, with all the struggles, with all the persecutions and with all the assimilation, there's still going to be those that remain loyal and connected and will continue that Mesorah, which is again why every one of you is part of that. As we began before, every one of us is important, is a link in that chain. Right now, you don't have your own families. You're part of your family, but Mir Hashem, years from now, you'll be continuing that Mesorah to your next generation. That's your achrayus. That's your connection. And that's the paragraph, Vihisha Amda, because we understand that it couldn't have been possible without the Shmir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amda, and then he says, there were so many who stood up, like we say in Al Nisim, right? Kisha Amar Alem Haman Harasha, or by Hanukkah, Kisha Amda Malchus Yavan Harasha. They're standing up, but there's something accounted for us that's there to preempt, because Hashem Baruch Hu is Makdim Rafula Maka. So there's going to be rising to power this enemy, that enemy, the Stalin, the Yimach Shemo, the Hitlers, and whoever else. But there's always HaKadosh Baruch Hu there to make sure that it won't get beyond a certain point. And he's there to ultimately matzilenu miyadam, because it has to be a continuity. So the Hisha Amda, that's the Bris Ben Absarim. Amda, it stood for us. And therefore, no one who tried to rise up and do what they could do, they couldn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam. And I want to mention a pshat that I saw, an incredible pshat in one of the Haggadahs that I was looking at just after recently. That this is more recent, I came across this and I said I have to put it in. The Lashon Shelo Echad Bilvad. It's an interesting Lashon. Shelo Echad Bilvad Amar Aleinu. What does that mean? Lo Echad Bilvad. What does it mean? And the answer I saw is incredible for it. If you think about certain ideologies and philosophies, like communism, socialism, and whatever it is that caught on. You know more maybe than me about some of the details. It's been more years for me since I read or heard about this stuff, but Marx, capitalism, economics, ultimately fascism, okay, whatever. Zionism will be bad because that's its own category. But basically, because it's its own creature. But basically, the idea was one person chapped the idea, was the brainchild of it, and then it caught on, and everyone in their own place, and even before communications were what they are today, but they hopped onto that idea and they ran with it, and maybe they tweaked it here and there, but ultimately it's a product of one individual who had the inspiration, the insight, and brought it to the world. And ultimately, it could take different shapes and forms, but it all starts with one person. So the Haggadah is saying, when it comes to anti-Semitism, it's not that way. Anti-Semitism wasn't like there was one Marusha, who came up with the idea that Jews have to be killed, and they don't have any place in the world, and they're the root of all evil. And somehow that resonated for everybody wherever they are, and everyone latched onto that idea, and that's how it grew and mushroomed and everything else. No. It's somehow a force in the world, and everyone in their own way chaps it. It's like, it's not from one person. It's not that all of them are disciples, the disciples of disciples of that one person, and ultimately they can trace it to that one person. That's no, it's a koach in the world that memela. It can, therefore, it manifests itself in all kinds of ways that are maybe very, very different than the others. Paro goes gazar, lo gazar ela ascharim, lovin bikish laka sakol. The answer is, it's just there in the world. Until Mashiach is coming, there's going to be something called anti-Semitism. We're living it through it today. And you can't give an explanation that's going to say, if we can only go back and reverse everything and say, all was started because of that person. It wasn't Echad Levad. It's just a force in the world that just gets picked up in different ways. But then each one chaps it in a different way, and they're machadish in their own way. That's the pshat of Echad Bilvad. Maybe we'll go back a little bit to the Arbabanim, and then a little bit on the Aram Yovid Avi. And again, we'll whatever we do, we do. Yeah. I'll just mention, you can look at this also. Yad Chazaka is Rona Tuya. There are different ways to learn it. One of the two expressions. So one of the things I wanted to say, perhaps, is that it was the Makos himself when they came. That's the Yad Chazaka. And there's the interim period, because there were the 12 months of the Makos. But even in the interim period, between one Makos and the other, there was a Zvar Netuya. The arm was stretched out, because the next Makos is coming when it's coming. And everyone knew it's coming. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come the next time with a warning, or it's just going to come without a warning, but it's called as running to you. It's the process itself that extended over that period, even between one Makkah and the other. Within the Makkahs themselves, there's a Arichas in the back. You'll see the Mamorim. There's a lot to talk about with the secrets of the Makkahs, the Tzachadash Biachav, and the Inyanim relating to that. But just to talk about the Arbabanim a little bit, a few diyukim in the language, something to notice. Each one of the children, right, is alluded to in the Torah. How do we begin by mentioning that? We say the Torah speaks about four sons, right? But keneged abavanim dibra Torah. It's keneged? Abavanim dibra Torah. What's keneged? Keneged? And what's dibra Torah? Dibra Torah? We say a lot of times Amra Torah, right? Amra Torah, Yom HaZakav, Yom HaZchayev. Dibra Torah, Kulasha B'nai Adam, we find that too. Why do we say Dibra Torah? What's Keneged Abavan Dibra Torah? So I thought as follows, that the Torah often is the blueprint for the world. It is a guide as far as what to do, of course, and what not to do, but it's also Koveya Metzias in the world. When the Torah writes something a certain way, that brings something into the world that reflects that reality that the Torah has in its words. The words of the Torah are the building blocks of the world. So it's not just that there are Abbanim, the prototypes, that different children ask different questions or don't ask at all. The Torah tells us, Ki shal chavimcha this, ma'ed v'chukin, ki amulechem b'neichem this, ma'avod esa v'kshach. The Torah has decreed that there's going to be a Ben Achacha. There are going to be people like that, asking questions because they want to know the answer. They want you to teach them as much as you can teach them. There's going to be children who just mock and not interested. You have to know how to deal with that. So therefore, there'll be the simple children, just want to know the basics without too much information, the mazos questions. So keneged means that the Torah has already a blueprint, and it's from the fact that Torah says that Torah is speaking to that metzias and creating the metzias at the same time. That's a keneged, and that's why it says dibra. Dibra is like a gzeira. Like it has to be, because if the Torah writes that it happened, that it's going to happen, it is going to happen. Okay. What's the echad chacham? Also an interesting question. Echad, echad, echad. I think ultimately, because everything in the world is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we understand, what we don't understand, the Ben HaChacham is Mekadoshim Shemayim in his way. The Rasha serves in some purpose as well to ultimately bring out Kavod Shemayim. However, that is to be interpreted sometimes through when you see the Midas Hadin in the world, that's sometimes an expression of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. Sometimes it has to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in mysterious ways, and the same Rasha could have a child who becomes a tzaddik. He can't give up on anybody. Maybe he becomes does tshuva at the end of his life, and then all the averus of 100 years can become mitzvahs. So you never know how maybe the response that you gave the Rasha shook him up to the core, and suddenly he realizes, I want to be a part of this. I thought I was out of the picture, and I laughed, and I made fun. But you know what? When I hear that, I say, suddenly, you know, tough love can sometimes penetrate a heart of steel. So who knows where the Kiddushim Shalom is going to come? There's a place for a Chacham, there's a place for a Rosh, there's a place for a Tam. Not everybody is as sophisticated, not everybody is going to be a Rosh Hashim or Rosh Kolel. So they need to know they keep mitzvahs and win a pshuta. There's a place for them. There's a place for people to be inspired by other people reaching out to them. That's what the Echad. Echad means that there's a place for everybody in the world. What's Mahu Omer? Not the question of a language. Mahu Omer. Mahu Omer. What would have been wrong to say? Chacham Omer, Rasha Omer. My father, you should be well, he used to like to say at the Seder, a very nice thought. Someone told me who already read the Haggadah, he liked this very much, so I'll share it again. That the idea is that the words the Torah puts in the mouth of the Chacham are not necessarily going to be uttered by every one of these prototype Chachams. Sometimes a Chacham doesn't have the sophisticated vocabulary that everyone else has, so he might not use the same words. He might sound like a mazos question, but he really wants to know everything. He doesn't want a simple answer. He wants to know everything, and you realize what he's really asking is Moed Vachukim. No, he couldn't get the words out. Sometimes you have someone who's really doesn't want too much. He just wants a Vamatu Vachosek Yad. But he doesn't want to give away that he's just mazos, a simpleton. So he uses fancy language, but really he doesn't want too much. He just wants to give him basics, and he's happy with it. So Mahu Omer, what does he really mean? What does he really say? The Rasha doesn't want to give away right away his true colors. So he might sound very from in the way he's asking. But at the end of the day, you discover, you realize he's not really asking question to get an answer. Mahu Omer, what's he really saying? So these are the interpretation between the lines. And ultimately, that's what it boils down to. That's the Mahu Omer. Okay. To go maybe a little bit later to the whole section of Rami Ovid Avi and then the Dayenu. So there's a lot that can be noticed in all this. Just to recognize the template, you know, it's been a year since he last said it. These are psukim from Parshas Kisavo. Where do they appear? As part of the mitzvah called Mikra Bikurim. Mikra Bikurim starts at Rami Ovid Avi, which is the farmer coming with his basket of fruit, of the new fruit, declaring Shevach V'Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beginning with the story of Lavan Bikesh Lakos Hakol. And that's the segue to that is having mentioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzireinu Miyadam, so then we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu also saved Yaakov from Lavan, which according to some Mefarshim is a foreshadowing of Klal Yisrael being saved from Mitzrayim, so that's how it gets positioned where it is in the Haggadah, the segue. But ultimately, we are told that we're supposed to darsh in this section. So we go through pasuk by pasuk, and we take phrase by phrase, and we mention things that are darshening this parsha. Most of, if not all, is from the Sifrei on those pesukim. And we go through each pasuk, and we delve into the phrase by phrase of that pasuk. So again, you can see here and many other Haggadahs, all kinds of nice thoughts. I'll just share a few and then we'll bridge it to Dayenu maybe. The point about Vanitzak al Hashem, that's one of the later psukim, right before Vayotzeinu, the third pasuk. The idea being that the tefillah wasn't just a tefillah that you would expect to break through the heavens. Sometimes you daven, and you know in Kippur Nila, you know that davening. I mean, not that you want to expect it and assume anything. You can't be sure of anything, but there's a feeling that tefillah had some power, and it came from Omer Kalev, and it penetrated the heavens, and you feel like it was a breakthrough. What's interesting here is it was a tefillah that didn't necessarily have the sophistication of what we'd expect with tefillah. It was a sigh, it was a cry, it was vayanchu. It wasn't even expressed in a manner that you would think would be deemed a tefillah that should be answered. But that's the koach of tefillah. Even that, the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw the suffering, and he heard us crying, and there was a krechts, and the krechts had a little bit of lishma in it, and Hashem took that, and that was the power of tefillah that worked. I have it maybe here, maybe in the back. The idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu entering the tefillah is the idea that Kai Yisrael recognized we're very low in their madrega, even as they're crying, they're over the Avodah Zarah. Even as the Makos are being lashed out against the Mitzrim, Bnei Yisrael are not necessarily even inspired so much. The Pasuk in Tehillim, they didn't chap, even themselves, that the messages are meant for us ultimately and for them to realize in retrospect. But at the time, they were holding at a very low level. So the fact that their tefillah could be as effective as it was, despite their being holding on to Avodah Zarah at the same time, that's part of the chidush of the Koach HaTefillah. Again, you realize how it could be relevant for so many people. You think that person you're dealing with, somebody who feels, I'm so far from anything, what is Hashem going to answer? What I cry out? What am I worth? Karisa weren't worth very much, but there was enough there that propelled them, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that there was something there to work with, and that was the point. The psukim of Arami Ovid Avi, so by the way, how do we get to the Eser Makos? Just to recognize this. That some Haggadahs have Eil Eser Makos as a new paragraph. I made sure that you wouldn't do that over here, because the Abud Ram stresses this. When we say Eil Eser Makos, it's really connected to the last drasha on the words of the pasuk. The last pasuk that we darshan is Vayotzein Hashem Mitzrayim B'yod Chazaka, Zorin Tuya, right? Morgan also Submovsin. So we first darshan it one way, then we say Davar Acher, right before the Eser Makos. What the Davar Acher is doing is taking the words and using the words as a connection to numbers. Yod Chazaka, 2. Zorin Tuya is 2. Morgan is 2, and then Osos is 2. Movsin is 2. Eila Eser Makos. So we're using the phrase of the pasuk to build to the number 10. And then we can mention the Makos. So that's the Eil Eser Makos is really connected to the Davar Acher. It's not like a new section. What happens afterwards, then we go into the three Tanoim that have discussions about the Makos by the Yam. But then we go into Dayenu. Why does Dayenu come right here after the Rami Ovid Avi? Why right here? It's on the one hand, it's a lead up into Hallel. That's what the Malbim's Haggadah says. Because Dayenu means it would be enough for us to say Hallel, even for that. Alachas kamakama, with all that you did, for sure, we're going to be able to mishabeach and say Hallel. So we get Megamliel and we go into Hallel. But there's another reason why it's here. The Rambam's Haggadah didn't have it, or the Rambam may have said it, but it wasn't the Rambam's Haggadah. But we don't know who wrote Dayenu. There are some who theorize it was Rabbi Akiva, because his name is mentioned right before in the previous paragraph. Barbanel's Haggadah says Rabbi Akiva, but we don't know for sure. But the question is why it's here. What is Dayenu? There's a drasha Chazal have on a pasuk. It's a song. Varikosuchem bracha ad beli dai. And what's the drasha? Beli milashin, to wear off, wear out. Ad sheyivlu sifsosechem milomar dai. Your lips get tired from saying dai. That's the mucker for dayenu. The idea is die. There's even a marker in Chazal, Atshivus Milomer Dayenu. The idea was trying to highlight that Chazal, that we have so much to be thankful. We're getting tired and saying Dayenu, Dayenu. How many times can you say Dayenu? That's the point, that we're recognizing there's so much to be thankful for. But why is it here? So there's one pasuk that we don't darshan explicitly. Right after the four psukim that the farmer says, Parakara Satov at Bikurim, after those four psukim that we've just finished darshaning on El HaSeder, there's another pasuk, Vayvi'enu al Mokom Hazeh. He has his basket in the Azara. Vayitan Lanu, he's thanking Hashem for bringing us to Eretz Yisrael. We haven't darshan that pasuk, right? Because most of the Haggadah was composed for Kar Yisrael, not necessarily in Eretz Yisrael, it's in Managolus. We don't darshan the pasuk Vayvi'enu, but what do we do? We say Dayenu, which culminates, this 15 levels of Dayenu, culminates with Hichnisanu Eretz Yisrael, Uvanu Lanu Es Beis HaBachira. It says the Tashbeitz, that's why we do it. To bridge the last pasuk that we didn't dash in the Ramir of Avi, so we bring it into the Dayenu, to culminate with bringing ourselves to the Beis HaBachira, we built the Beis HaMikdash. So we are highlighting, even if not as much explicitly with the drushes, but that last pasuk of the Rami Ovid Avi. Let me end with the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes, and then it's just really so much more that you can look at and enjoy and say over. This is just a sample of thoughts that I came with now, but the Sfas Emes is something very, very powerful. When we say in Asher Golanu, the concluding bracha of Magid, we ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu to bring us to the Beis HaMikdash to be able to ultimately offer karbanos, and we say, we desire it so much. Says the Sfas Emes, Bizman HaMikdash, there was an Asiyah. Olas to Asiyah Bahar Sinai. Nasa. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so we're Bechinas Nishma. We have the yearning for it. We're learning about it. We're yearning for it. Says the Sfas Emes, in a certain way, there's a power to a Nishma more than Nasa. Nishma becomes more vulnerable, because when a person is doing something, then there's more opposition, there's more ketrugim, and who knows if it ends up working out, it could be a psul that could end up messing everything up. But when you have a machshava, and machshava is more elusive, and it's internal, and it's your feelings that are just the she'ifos, and those thoughts, there's a purity to it that can sometimes have even more kedusha, because it's not going to be opposed by forces that come to be misnaged. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes those yearnings and those feelings. That's what we know. A person is nenas v'lasa mitzvah, it's ki'ilu asa. If a person does it, sometimes it can be at a disadvantage. And you have to make sure you do it right. You have to have the right kavanas, because you have to serve the kavanas to the asiya. And hopefully you can, and ultimately you want to be able to do it. But if you can do it, then you should be able to appreciate the value of the machshava itself. And Lashon HaBabi Rishalayim, obviously, right? We want to be able to have the opportunity and actualize it, the poel, but in the meantime, not to minimize the very Lashon HaBa itself, the acknowledging that the yearning for the Geula, that the Oros of the Seder bring out within us, that we feel the connection, the feel the pride, what it is to be part of an Amah Nivchar, to have the schus, to be able to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Leil HaSeder, to do the mitzvahs that we do, but the very emotions and the feelings and the lishma, that counts in an infinite way. And that's the sort of the Sfas Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that inspiration that should come with the Leil HaSeder. We should all be able to prepare properly for the Seder and be zoche to a true experience of Chayrus Shana Abba of Yerushalayim.